Thank you for listening to Lawford, the podcast about the village of Lawford in northeast Essex and the surrounding area. Lawford, the podcast, is brought to you by Lawford Parish Council with the aim to share what the council is up to and to highlight some of the amazing people, events and facilities in our area. Good morning. Welcome to Lawford, the podcast. I am here today with Luke Edgar of Edgar Art Studio in Summers Park in Lawford. Welcome, Luke, to our community podcast.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Good to chat. And we haven't chatted. And I think the first thing is actually, I'm sitting in your studio, and it is well, it's remarkable. But we'll talk to the studio in a little bit more detail. But maybe just to give a little bit of context in terms of what it is you do, because I think it's I'm looking at some of your work, and some of your work is walking around. So do you want to give us a little bit of context and give the listeners a bit of context?
Yeah. So I work on metal and I tattoo as well, but it's kind of a combined effort with a lot of the metal that I work on is tattooed. So it's lots of layers of oil paint and then breaking down the oil paint by tattooing over the top of it. So it's, as I was saying before, it's a long process and working on multiple pieces at once.
And just to give people context, yeah. As I was sitting here, these pieces are huge, right? I'm looking at one which are inspired by your wife and by your daughter, and they must be 7 or 8 foot tall and 3 or 4 foot wide, and just incredibly large, but incredibly detailed at the same time. So yeah, it's just
I kind of wanted to make them life size. Basically, I know some of these are bigger than life size, like some of the heads, but them ones especially was like I wanted it to be like almost an exact copy of them, you know. So it feels like you're looking at a clone of them or something. It was only really since my daughter was born that made me want to do portraiture, because it's mostly I would always work with figures, but I'd never wanted to be of a person, you know. Okay. And then when it was kind of
suddenly it's you're looking at your own
and caring like my other half, like making a person, it was like, well, I want to try and make a person well, you know.
I'm sure you had a little
thought. I had a little something to do with it. Yeah, exactly.
But yes, the heavy lifting is done by your wife. Okay, can we so artist, tattooist, and kind of combining the two is the headline. So maybe we'll kind of go through that journey in terms of starting with the tattooing piece. But I guess the first thing that just strikes me about it is just a remarkable responsibility, isn't it, to leave marks on somebody's body that will be there for forever. I mean, I was literally trying to think, like, a surgeon does it. Does anybody else have that responsibility? And I know the clients give you that responsibility, but I suppose the first couple of times you do it must be incredibly daunting, isn't it?
It's a big deal. It still is daunting doing it, you know. And I'm now, I think in January next year, it'll be 10 years that I've been tattooing. And it's still daunting, you know, like when you wake up on a day and you're going to be tattooing someone, feels different to a day you're not tattooing someone, you know, because it's like, as you said, every mark that you make is on that person forever now. So it is a responsibility, and you're changing a person's appearance as well, you know, like sometimes it's someone that you don't know, you may have just met them today, and I'm now in a change of appearance, you know?
And
I always try to...
There's a lot of trust in that, isn't
there? So I always try and make sure that hard work bit is done prior to meeting a person, you know, because it's kind of like, I don't just want to put an image on you that could, you know, like almost from my point of view, of putting it on a faceless person, like I just draw something for you and I just put it on you. It's like, it has to be you. As much as these pieces I'm working on metal are portraits of people, it's like I'm creating a portrait of you on you as well, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like I try and have as much interaction before as I can, like anyone that's local, coming down first.
And have a chat.
Several chats a lot of time and drawing on people beforehand. So I don't use stencils or anything. So it's all freehand drawing on. So we do.
I know in my profession I make mistakes. Presumably you inevitably have to make mistakes at some point. Like how does that? Maybe that's an unfair question, but presumably at some point you think, oh, maybe I would have, especially if it's freehand, right?
I think it's mistakes in like the most important thing of anything is the structure of it, you know, like the foundations. It's like that initial drawing is the little details and the bits that
you can accommodate small things afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing that's funny is like the things that people pick up on, it'll be like the highlight in an eye or something like that. Or like the way something glistens is like the little tiny bit at the end. Okay. But really the whole structure of the piece is, does it stand on, ultimately, does it make this person's body look more interesting than it did without it? So that's why I find drawing, even though it's like I work freehand, I draw on people sometimes twice before the actual session.
Yeah.
You know, purely for that, really.
I guess it's a bit like, the foundation. So it's a bit the builder analogy. If you know, if the groundworks are really good, then you can, you know, your building will come together. How do you become a tattooist?
Apprenticeships.
Yeah. Is there a formal, like, you know, is a British apprenticeship scheme?
No, it's quite old school tattooing.
Okay.
So it's like you study under someone usually. So there's not like,
It's not like a mechanic where you go or whatever, several years of carpentry or something, where there's a formal kind of schedule.
It's different to whoever you learn from,
okay,
in a way. So it's kind of like,
graduate.
Yeah, well, it's funny because the guy who taught me, I was really lucky actually. Like, I learned from a guy called Jason Butcher, and his work's incredible. You know, so he's a painter as well, and a tattoo artist working large scale, you know, bodysuit kind of thing, and really incredible artist. So my apprenticeship wasn't really like a normal tattoo apprenticeship in a way, you know. It was very like trying to set you up with a mindset rather than like, this is exactly how you do a line. This is exactly, but it's trying to think of, I don't know, it's still in my ear while I'm working.
Okay,
you know
what I mean? I mean, that's a good legacy to have, isn't it?
Yeah,
to have people out there who are, you know.
Lots of watching as well. I literally just would sit and watch and clean the studio, you know, and just watch. Get tattooed as well is a big part of it.
Okay.
Like by the person that you're learning from, because like you can watch as much as you like, but then feeling it.
The sensation, yeah.
Feeling it and feeling like, you know, okay, that's what that feels like. And then when I'm actually tattooing someone, you're getting like a bounce back through your hand, or, you know, you get, when you're tattooing someone, it's not just, it's like driving or something. You're feeling the floor under you. It's that same thing as you're like, okay, that feels like almost the same feeling as when I'm getting tattooed.
Okay.
You know, like the vibration that you're getting back through. So I was very lucky with apprenticeship.
Yeah. And I guess, like, I don't know, some people may be listening, they might have are kind of an old school interpretation of what a tattoo is, but like, this is art. Like, this is, you'll see it on, people can go and see your page on Instagram, and like, this is full body art, isn't it? I mean, it is, it is, even just the time to do that is must be several days, isn't it?
Big projects, yeah. So a lot of time depends. I tend to work large scale. I don't do that many, as much as I like doing small stuff where you start and finish it in a day. It's quite rare now. Like, I tend to do sort of full, you know, whether it's like full torsos or full arm or full back or whatever. And I, over the course of however long, people break their sessions up. So sometimes I'm tattooing people for a couple of years. One project for a couple of years or a year, and then you don't see them for a couple of years, and then another year solid. So
So they've come and they've got a plan. I guess that way, what's the client process like? Do they kind of, some of them come with a vision of what, as you say, a torso or something will look like, but it might take a while to get those bits together.
It's a mix, really. So sometimes it'll be, say someone wants a sleeve, for example, they might have a basic idea of a sleeve that they're thinking, but it's never usually like, I want this here and this here and this here. It'll be like a concept, you know, a lot of time, like, I kind of like this kind of idea. And we sit down and go through loads of stuff, even if like, what kind of music do you like? What's your life like? And things like that. So you get a bit of an idea of people's taste rather than just, I want this image, bang, there's this image. And then we just work through it. You know, a lot of time I'll kind of get a basic idea. As you can see, some of these pieces are in progress in the studio, where you can see like some bits are just kind of washed out and not sharp yet. There's lots of people walking around like that as well with my work.
It'll evolve.
You know, or it's like puzzle pieced along. Like, I've got a full plan, but we just puzzle it along. It depends on everyone, really.
Yeah.
Like, some people are in every month.
Yeah. And is there a typical client, as in, because it feels a very, are we in a bit of a golden age for tattooing? Because I mean, like, I don't know, once upon a time it was a bit niche, but now it seems like half the world are tattooed, yeah. and it's become, you know, not just cool. It's I don't know. I was watching all the rugby there during the Six Nations, and it's like every rugby player, like, you know, everybody. Yeah, yeah, it's amazing.
It's definitely not a tattoo client. That's the interesting thing about tattooing, is you get to sit with so many different types of people. You know, it's like this guy that's running his own business, who's done very well for himself, and then, you know, another guy that is 19 and is just starting off. You know, and everything in between is quite fascinating. So it's like you get a completely different day. Without tattooing, I feel like I'd barely see anyone, because I would just be locked in my studio.
You'd be just focusing on the art piece. Yeah, and we'll get exactly. to the broader art in the studio in a moment. But just I'm a bit fascinated by the, I guess, the practicalities of actually tattooing. Like, has the tooling and the technology evolved, or is it, because I guess when I look at the tattoos now, they're so much more elaborate, right? And I'm not sure if that's just kind of, is that just people's imagination has changed over the last 20 years, or whether it's actually the tooling and the techniques have changed?
A lot of things have changed, but ultimately you're still putting ink under the skin, you know, like whether you're putting it in, hand tapping it in without a machine, you know, like traditional Japanese tabori where they have like a long stick and they're poking it like that. Like, ultimately, it's the same.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, there's definitely things that make our life easier now. Like, a wireless tattoo machine, for example. You know, I've got a tattoo machine that's got no wires. It's just got battery pack.
Okay.
So it feels like a pen. And I can go, like, you know, at any awkward position to get into, like, under someone's neck or something like that. It's tough with a wire.
Do you see the... Look at this. I'm an un-inked man. So, do you see the when you're doing it? Do you see the does the coloration and everything come out straight away, or do you have to? Is there a period of, I don't know. Is there a period of time you have to wait
So it changes, because say, like, I'm actually working black and grey tattooing, so not lots of color. So usually it's kind of black and like a diluted black. So then it's like your natural skin tone is coming through. Not that anyone can see it, but you can see it, like on my arm, where it's these kind of like really light washes. This is a guy who taught me to tattoo that this. Just so it kind of feels quite natural in the skin, but it always looks a lot darker when it's first done than when it heals. So it's kind of a tough one of, I'm used to it now, of I almost, when I'm tattooing it, I see it healed in my head. I'm not looking at it now. It's one of them of, like, while you're working, if it looks perfect tone wise then it's going to be too light. It has to look too dark on the day, and then it will heal 20% lighter, perhaps, you know.
And what does healing involve? Like, is that days, hours, weeks, or what's the
a couple of weeks usually. I say a couple of weeks, and then it's like it kind of is the right time, but really for it to fully settle, you see, I want to see it changing over the next couple of years, you know. Black and grey is one of them that I think looks better over time, because it really settles into your skin. It gets even smoother.
Got it. Okay, so let's pivot a little bit to the... So we talked about tattooing, but you know, so it is art, and your studio here is dedicated to your tattooing on metal. We talked a little bit off air, and just you were giving a bit of context, but just even how did you get, because you basically explained that this isn't typical, there isn't other people out there tattooing on big sheets of metal as I see it, but I'm sure you'll tell me it's more, just how did you get into that as an area?
Well, originally I've always been quite drawing based, like mark making, you know, like, rather than, even though these are paintings, I've never been that into like very loose, almost like watercolory paintings. I like making a mark, you know, same as a tattoo is making a mark. So like a pencil or a pen. And then I started doing etching and like dry point print, which is usually when you scratch into a surface with a needle, then cover that surface in ink or paint, whatever you're using, wipe away so that the ink drops into the edges that you've cut. And then put a piece of paper on top and put it for a printing press, and then you get a print, basically. But I always preferred the original piece that you scratch rather than the print. Like that it's a one-off thing as well. Like, print, you can just keep printing them, you know?
Yeah.
I like that it's just an original thing as well.
Yeah. It's...
And when I didn't have... that was in the back of my head that I like that more, but I kind of didn't really do anything with it. And then when I didn't have access to a printing press anymore, I was trying to figure out what can I scratch and it still have that effect. So I started working on... like Diet Coke cans, like Coke Zero, the black ones, so that then I'm scratching away and I'm just hitting metal. And then that gradually evolved into working on like metal shelves, you know, shelving units, especially if they were rusty and beaten up and things like that, because then it's like working with the rust of it.
Yeah.
If I was already damaged, I had a load from like an old paint workshop that was covered in like, you know, years worth of paint.
Weathered and lived and
working through that. But then now working on these, like, because I get all these made for me. So working on whatever size I want, basically.
And will that, I mean, you know, I guess all art degrades at some point, but does this, I presume with this, with metal and ink, these images will look like this for a very, very long time.
Exactly that. Yeah. Because they're thin layers of oil paint built up and then tattooing through. So it's like a way of removing the paint. But then at the end, they're all varnished and it's like, it can't carry on rusting, you know? Because like some pieces are, as I said, they can't see it, but like this piece here is mostly rust, you know? So, but then it's varnished over the top. So it's kind of, it can't keep rusting. But yeah, it's been an interesting thing of every piece I work on trying to start from a different starting point. You know,
And I guess just looking at, I've got no artist eye, but there is a big, even in the work that's here, it's very different stylistically, isn't it? Obviously, you've got your portrait type ones, and then completely opposite. We just walked past.
Yeah.
Is that just all artists? Do they just evolve in terms of that? You get inspired by different things through their lives, and they think, oh yeah, I'm now into this, because
I think I kind of want them to almost feel like they like exist in the same world, if you know what I mean. Like if you making up this own world of yours, like it's almost like I feel like these figures could exist in these other worlds that are not, you know, they haven't got figures, they don't need figures in them necessarily. You know, so it's trying to, I don't really make an effort to make sure that they're all kind of cohesive, but I feel like they kind of are purely out of it's my hand doing them.
Yeah. And how do you know? So it's a big commitment, right? Because like these pieces take a very long time to produce, right? So like, do you start out with I'm sure there's an evolution, but do you start out with a plan of like, okay, this is kind of, I've got this big, big sheet of metal and I'm going to, as in, do you sketch it and you kind of go, this is what it's going to look like, and then just kind of scale that, or how does it work?
It's different every time. Like I keep a sketchbook every day, so I draw every day no matter what kind of thing in the sketchbook. Sometimes it's like observational, like literally what's in front of me, or it's imagination, or both, you know, a mix. Okay. So lots of ideas come through the sketchbook, and a lot of time it'll be, if I keep redrawing the same thing, like there's something there.
There's something there,
I keep coming back to that. You know, and sometimes I don't even realize I'm doing it. I'll go back to other sketchbooks and keep seeing the same thing. But yeah, concept wise, sometimes I start off with like, I kind of want to do something like this, and then that happens and it ends. But a lot of the time, it will be lots of the, you know, most of these paintings, there's like several paintings under them.
Yeah,
you like where it will just slowly turn into. I almost try and work myself into a corner a little bit of like, make a mess on it and then have to try and figure out an image with tattooing.
It's hard. I mean, we're on audio. It's hard to articulate, but they're amazing.
Thank you.
Just the studio, because it's not just you here. Do you want to just give people a bit of context in terms of the other folks that are working in this space?
Yeah. So I share it with Jay Goodwin. And he does like really, so this is his work behind you. So these like realistic black and white oil paintings, mostly figurative. And it's kind of, again, takes months. It's quite interesting seeing the way he works compared to the way that I work, because he's very much like, we'll work on one piece for months, you know,
where you're parallel doing lots of different things.
I spend lots of time, I spend months on paintings, but I'll spend months on like 5 to 10 paintings, I'll work between them all.
Between them, whereas he's
before I feel like I cannot keep looking at this painting,
yeah,
I have to look at something else, where he can just work on a bed sheet for a month,
yeah,
you know, which is impressive. But we did have Matthew Huggett here as well, but he's just opened his own studio in Morden.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably the successful outcome for having a studio, isn't it? Having people branch out.
Definitely. So it's brilliant. You know, I've been friends with Matt for a long time, and it's kind of brilliant that he's doing his own thing now. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
It's all good.
And how, just out of interest, how do you end up? It feels, how do you end up in Lawford, in Somers Park, in what is it's a brand new development? I mean, it's a beautiful place in the Mews here, but what's the story of setting up a studio in Lawford?
Well, we, me and my partner Kerry moved here in about, I think it was 2019, and then we sort of I was working in a studio, like a tattoo studio in Chelmsford, and then I had an art studio in Coggleshaw, and I would do a week between the both, so I'd have like a week just of painting and then a week just of tattooing, and I'd done that for a few years, and I really loved that kind of, it was like living two lives in a way, you know.
Yeah.
But then when lockdown, I knew I wanted to open my own studio and have it all combined as one, you know. Lockdown hit and my house become my studio basically. So as you can see it like this, this is what my house looks like.
Okay.
Basically,
okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And I really love that kind of that you can't get away from the work, you know, that you're surrounded by it a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's like, right, I definitely need a studio that's local that I can just get to.
Yeah.
So we opened this place during lockdown 2020 and set it all up ready for when we could, when we wasn't allowed to tattoo or anything like that. So we found this place that was empty. It's like perfect location.
Well, it's brilliant, isn't it? And the kind of juxtaposition between, you know, you've got a gym across the road, you've got an estate agent, and then you've got this art studio, which is like, okay, wow. Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, we're sort of like the ones hidden in the corner.
Yeah.
Just doing something a little bit different. But it's brilliant. I love being so close here, you know.
Yeah.
And as I said, like, we just had daughter as well, and having her in here all the time as well, it's been lovely.
Cool.
So it's been brilliant.
And obviously this is a community podcast. And I kind of an open-ended question, but just kind of reflection on the role of art in community.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like on a personal level, it's to keep me sane, you know, and I think it probably would help a lot of other people in that way too.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind
just
of
expression. Yeah,
exactly. And I think in, you know, even something like in schools and stuff like that, I love it when you can see that creativity is
It's in the kids' need or intuitively,
kids,
isn't it?
And then
we beat it out of them a little bit as we go through.
Kids already have it, so it's that thing of like when it is nurtured, of like this person's obviously this kind of thing, this kind of person, and it's not beaten out of you.
Yeah,
because it does happen a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's beaten out of you.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice.
I don't know. I'm reflecting on my own childhood and then my kids' childhoods, and I think it is changing. I do think. I know we definitely encourage our kids to.
That's brilliant.
To try, right?
I think it is as well. From everything I've heard recently, it's nice to, especially locally as well.
Yeah.
It feels like a creative area to be in Lawford anyway. So there is a lot of creatives here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So it feels like it's a nice thing to be. It's sort of, as a human, it's you know, some of the earliest things we did after we're okay and we've got food is make marks on walls,
scratched on caves, didn't we?
And marked each other.
Yeah,
you know, it's like some
of
the earliest stuff ever, isn't it? So it's natural for us. It'd be a shame to let that.
Yeah, yeah.
You think of
all those Polynesian islands and all those, like, all those, you know. It's ancient art, as you say.
Exactly.
Okay, so that was an awesome chat. If people wanted to find out more, and I know it's Instagram and everything else, but do you want to just give people a bit of signpost a little bit where they can find out a bit more about the studio, yourself, the tattooing, the art?
Yeah, well, I've got a website that's edgararts.co.uk. So you can see all of our stuff on there. As I said, we're in Dairy Barn Mews in Lawford. Can always come down.
Can people pop in and just
I would say email beforehand, just because a lot of time I do like kind of odd time hours and things like that, but I only live around the corner, so I can always come down, you know, if anyone wants to visit. But tattoo wise as well, like as I said, we work with kind of any ideas and try and, you know, I like the challenge of working with anything. So, and it's always a sit down conversation of meeting people for a while first and making sure that we both gel as well. And same thing for commissioning artwork, you know, it's a very similar way. Sit down, have a conversation about it and see where we're both at, you know.
And you make a mean cup of coffee as well. So it's win-win. Luke, well, thank you very much for the time this morning. And that is awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.